Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you're joining me today because I have Jim Tewalt. He's a financial planner with EPS Wealth Management. He has over 30 years experience in the business. And we are talking about a plethora of things on today's episode. So we're talking about things like pensions. Did you know people are wanting to make a shift from 401ks to pensions? Now, if your work doesn't offer a pension, which most don't, is there a solution for that? And we get on in today's episode. And also we talk about how 93% of women feel insecure, especially when they don't have some type of savings for their future. And sometimes they even stay in bad relationships because of how they feel about their finances. So we're getting into some of those topics and more. So make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate, $5, $10, $100, whatever you feel you can donate. That would really help support the program. You can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I appreciate that. Hey, I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. Find me on those locations. And if you are trying to lose weight but have mental clarity at the same time and get rid of all those things that disrupt the body, all those free radicals, then look no further than cupofhealth.com. When you go to cupofhealth.com, you're going to find delicious, creamy coffee that, get this, that doesn't have pesticides. Did you know the majority of coffees out there have a lot of pesticides within their coffee, and we're drinking that in to our body? So if you want a healthy coffee that's going to help you lose weight, give you the mental clarity you need, and also help you get rid of the free radicals that are in your body, go to cupofhealth.com, and when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Jim Tewalt to the program. Friends, we have Jim Tewalt, our financial advisor, joining us today. So welcome back to the program, Jim.
Hey, thank you. It's great to start off the week this way. So awesome. I'm looking forward to our conversation, as I do every time that we have a chance to speak.
Yeah, we have a lot that we're going to talk about, pensions being one of them. So I found this article that I wanted to share with you that I thought was fascinating because I think it says many workers believe pensions are key to achieving the American dream, but getting those plans back isn't easy. And speaking of this, I know right now the majority of pensions come from government. However, where we're at, you and I, Jim, our local government is taking away pensions for anyone who's newly hired and just getting them the 401k. Which is one of the draws. Like if you join the military, you know you're going to get a pension. Most police agency, you know you're going to get a pension. However, in Maricopa County, they're trying to take this away. But more Americans believe that we should be doing pensions. So some of the key points of this article is a shift from a 401k plan and made it so retirement saving is a worker's responsibility. Yet new research finds more individuals say pensions are essential for achieving the American dream. So just really quick, I'll highlight some of this article from CNBC. Many Americans long for the days when companies guaranteed workers income in retirement. That includes Sarah Chambers, a fourth generation Ford auto worker and members of United Auto Workers Union, who saw her grandparents retire with financial security. But after obtaining a permanent position in 2012, the same benefits were not available to her. Without a pension and post-retirement health care, you have people leaving the company after 30 years of service with nothing more than have a nice day, hope the stock market doesn't crash, Chambers told Senate leader during a hearing in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. In an emailed statement, the Ford spokeswoman said that the company provided a very competitive 401k for the auto workers union represented employees. The company contributes 10% of employee base wages plus $1 per hour, capped at 2,080 hours a year with zero employee contribution required, she said. Plan participants may also choose lower risk investments options if they want to minimize their exposure to stock market fluctuations. And more than three quarters of Americans, 77%, say the unavailability of pensions is making it harder to achieve the American dream, according to this new report from the National Institute of Retirement Security. Meanwhile, 83% of all workers should have a pension to be independent and self-reliant. So that's just part of the article. What say you, our financial expert or certified financial planner of 30 plus years, the owner of EPS Wealth Management, what say you about that article?
What I say is, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So there's a, you know, this whole pension in 401k thing, I did a little research as to why pensions went away. And first of all, pensions were very expensive to maintain. Mm-hmm. If a company provides benefits and so forth, you just have to understand the money comes from somewhere. You know, as an example, if we raise the minimum wage for people that work in fast food restaurants and so forth, the cost of the fast food is going to go up because the company still has to make their margins. So what happened with pensions is that the stock market was erratic, which the stock market can be. Mm-hmm. And the employers had the responsibilities for these pension plans. They were expensive to maintain. And along came the Koch brothers, I believe in 1978, who, by the way, own mutual funds. So I don't know if there was any self-serving there, but they prompted some legislation to be passed in Washington, D.C. that promoted the 401k plan. Mm-hmm. So promoted 401k became, it's the option was, or the selling points were, hey, you can choose your own investments and you can contribute to the plan. And by the way, we as the employer will match your contributions and everything will be wonderful. Well, obviously we know that there are some problems with that. So the one thing that I think is important to know for our listening audience is that we might not be able to change the pension thing overnight, but there are options. If you would like to have a personal pension plan, there are ways to have your own plan to take your 401k contributions. And by the way, if your employer does match your contributions up to 3% of your earnings or 6% of your earnings, that's like mom saying to you, Amber, if you put a dollar in your piggy bank, I'll put a dollar in your piggy bank. Mm-hmm. Now, even before I got into the financial services industry, I realized that if I put a dollar in a piggy bank and mom puts a dollar in a piggy bank, that's a good thing. That's 100% rate of return on your money. So, I think the American dream for pensions, boy, I'm 110% on that. I am not the type of guy, the type of financial advisor that says, hey, let's build up the big nest egg and then hope that, something doesn't come along to break the egg and turn it into scrambled eggs for breakfast. So I'm much more for one, for the strategy of building predictable streams of income in retirement. And by the way, one of the problems with the old pension plans, not for the government, because the government does, you spend our tax dollars to have good plans for the employees. And I don't begrudge them that. I think that's great. I think that would be great if it happened in private industry as well. Mm-hmm. But one of the problems with pension plans in the corporate world always was that they did not increase for inflation. Mm-hmm. And inflation, the cost of things just keeps going up. And why does that happen? Well, it happens because of human nature. If you are earning $25,000 a year this year in your job, you want to earn $30,000 next year. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're doing the same job, but you want to make more money, or maybe you can do a few more things, but everybody wants to make more money. Everybody wants to have a nice house and then a nicer house. Nice clothes, nicer clothes, nice car, nicer car, boat. You know, that's just that's human nature. And there's nothing wrong with that. It drives our economy and it's a good thing. But if it comes back to achieving the American dream of having a pension, I am on board with that because I do believe you will have a much better retirement if you have predictable streams of even contractually guaranteed income that will increase during your retirement years, giving you a chance to offset the cost of inflation. That, to me, is the best way to have a happy retirement.
And you can help put that together if people give you a call. That's something that you can do in your office.
Absolutely. And one of the things that that is good about the capitalistic system, if you will, and there's, you know, obviously there's abuses in everything. And when the capitalistic system gets abused, it's not good for people. But one of the things that is good is that when there's a need and some company spots that need, oftentimes they'll come along with a solution. And we have some companies that have realized, hey, pensions have gone away. People do want to achieve the American dream. They do want to have a stream of income that's that they can count on in their retirement years. And there has there are some companies that have come along and put together some plans that we can make available to you that will do just that.
Well, I want to ask you, so 401ks, you know, that's where we're as employees, we're trying to figure out where we're going to allocate the money so that it grows in the market. And you know what? The majority of us don't know what to do. We take our best guess. It's almost like you throw a dart at a map and you're like, oh, that's where I'll go on vacation. It's kind of like one of those, like people don't see a financial planner. Maybe they don't think they can go see a financial planner regarding their 401k. Retirement, but I would highly suggest go make a call with Jim Tewalt. If you have a 401k and you just are doing the best guess you can, because I want to talk about the Monte Carlo simulation. Tell us about the Monte Carlo simulation that financial
easy for you to
do.
Say.
Right. Easy for me to say. Yeah.
Say Monte Carlo simulations five times quickly. You'll be tongue tied. Yes. So in the financial services industry, as I mentioned, it's been the idea of build the big nest egg. So how much do I need? Do I need $1 million? Do I need $2 million, $5 million? And the answer to that question is nobody really knows, because nobody knows exactly what the future is going to be in terms of inflation. Mm-hmm. I've seen personally, back in the 70s, inflation was double digits. 13-14% per year. We had 7% 2 years ago, and people were weeping. So 14 is you're shell shocked.
We fortunately, have high inflation right now as we're watching it. And of course, the government was saying, well, if you take out this and you take out this and you take out this, then our inflation's really low. I'm like,
yes.
All the factors that go into inflation, like food and energy and all the stuff. I'm like, those are part of really the inflation number. So if you want to kind of trick us, I guess you could take all that stuff out. But we're seeing really high inflation right now as we speak. I mean, yes, we did see high inflation in the 70s, but it's like we're seeing it again right now.
Yeah, I gauge it based on my favorite peanut butter, which happens to come from, well, I won't tell you the name of the store, but it's their private brand. It's the all-natural crunchy peanut butter. And when I first started buying it, it was about $1.29 a jar. Now it's $2.29 a jar. I think that is substantially more than 7%. Mm-hmm. As far as the gas pump, we're all over the map with that. We've been high. It's coming back down now, and it's just crazy. But you're right, Amber. The actual things that most people have to buy to live, the government does not take those things into account when calculating the inflation rate. So, but basically, we try to tell people, hey, it's good to think for yourself too. And obviously, the government's going to do what the government's going to do. That's been going on for thousands of years. The chance that it's going to get substantially better, I think, is somewhat of a pipe dream, because it's just the human nature thing. They go, people go to Washington with the best of intentions, they get caught up in the power drama that goes on there. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of years, they're thinking, well, term limits are really not good because you really don't know what you're doing until you've been in office for, you know, two or three terms. Well, you know, you can look at the positive aspects of that, but you can also say, you know, you begin to get self-serving after that period of time, too.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Amber. That's PatriotMobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
Hi, I'm Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
Hey, friends. Are you feeling constantly fatigued? Dealing with constant chronic fatigue where it's hard to get out of bed, it's hard to go to work, it's hard to play with the kids, it's just hard to do life? That's no life at all. And maybe you're overweight. Is it hard for you to lose weight? If these are problems that you're dealing with, perhaps you have a hormone imbalance. I would really highly recommend that you go see Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com because he is an expert in balancing hormones and getting our body working at optimal health. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, you just feel off, you don't feel the way you want to feel, like you did a couple years ago, 5 years ago. Maybe you've been dealing with this for many years. Stop dealing with it. Start living life. So go check out meehanmd.com. When you're there, let him know Amber May sent you because he can help you get the health that you want, restore your body's hormonal balances back to the way God created it, and make you feel better. And while you're there, check out his supplemental store. He has amazing supplements to help support all kinds of functions in the body. Whether you're trying to support your immune health, your gut health, maybe you have trouble sleeping, go check him out at meehanmd.com. When you're there, use promo code AMBER at checkout.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
You lose track of your initial goal, which was to make a positive difference. So let's go back to Monte Carlo simulations. So in the brokerage industry, most of us are trained to think of our portfolios in terms of, do I have more money this month than I had last month? Do I have more money this year than I had last year? If I don't, God forbid, you know, my advisor is, you know, probably going to get cooked over, you know, in a cauldron somewhere deep in the jungle. So what the industry does to try to give us a sense of security when they're, you know, bent on a growth-oriented strategy, they run what's called Monte Carlo illustrations. So Monte Carlo is a gambling place. So the illustrations basically use a computer to say, if the market does this, this could be the outcome. If the market does that, that could be the outcome. And when they run those simulations, they'll run like 1,000 of them at a time, which you can easily do on a computer. If they see a 76, and recently I had a fellow in the office that was given a 90% chance of success. So somewhere between 76 and 90% chance of success for your portfolio lasting as long as you do, is highly, you know, they think that's a great deal. Mm-hmm. So I just put it in terms of, if I'm going in for surgery tomorrow, Amber, and my doctor says there's a 24% chance, Jim, that you're not going to get off the table. And then he, you know, or let's say I go to a different doctor and he says there's a 10% chance you're not going to wake up after the surgery. I'm just telling you, Amber, I'm looking for other options at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call Dr. Stephen Gundry or something and, you know, starting get my gut fixed or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, all the things, all of the ads that are out there, all the promises that are made and so forth. So a lot of good things, too. But so the Monte Carlo illustrations to me, you know, it's good when the broker's talking to you, I guess, especially if you're persuasive. But if you are retired and the market is being an absolute brat, which it does periodically, mm-hmm. it's just the nature of the market. It goes up, it goes down. But if it's being an absolute brat and you are retired and you are no longer in a position where you are earning an income, that's a retirement destroyer for most people. I've watched people. I remember one guy that came into my office and he said, I am a very high risk investor. And he told me that for fun, he was a rodeo bulldogger, which is a guy that rides a horse going 35 miles an hour who jumps off that perfectly good horse onto a steer, also going 35 miles an hour, grabs the horns and wrestles it to the ground. Now, if anybody understands risk, it should be a rodeo bulldogger, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, we put this guy into some investments and we didn't go high risk, even though he said high risk. We did something just very mild and mannered. But the first time his account went down a couple of $100s, he folded up like a $2 suitcase. He was done. So I have seen that attitude so much in retirement. People just think, hey, I'm retired. I'm not working anymore. I cannot afford to lose all of my money in my retirement. And frankly, unless your broker is one of the, you know, the famous guy a couple of years ago that lost everybody's money. If you are invested in good stocks, quality stocks, the chance of losing all of your money in the market is absolutely nil, in my opinion, unless Jesus comes back. At that point, all bets are off. So, but otherwise, you're going to see market volatility, price volatility for sure, but the chance, again, of losing all your money in the market is really nil. However, human nature being what it is, when the market drops 30 or 40% mm-hmm. in 1 year, as it did back in 2008, mm-hmm. people panic and they sell. And they sell at absolutely the worst time because everything is geared to growth. And if they're not getting growth, what's the alternative? So mm-hmm. we like portfolios that have the chance to make growth, but also generate predictable streams of income. Because when people come in during that period of time, I can sit down with them and I can say, look, I understand the market is down. Nobody likes that. However, look at your dividends here. Mm-hmm. They're growing. And we're actually reinvesting them right now to buy additional shares of stock. And by the way, we're having a Neiman Marcus annual 50% off sale.
Exactly.
Stock prices are very low. Your dividends are going up. We're using them to buy more shares. And that's a good, it's just a good strategy. So when they see that, it gives them hope, and it makes it easier for me to get them to do the one thing that they have to do to be successful, which is stay the course.
Share with us Helen's story, because I think this has to do with that personal pension thing you were telling us about earlier.
Well, the wonderful thing about annuities, and it used to be back in 2008, if you said the word annuity in public, people would put up the sign of the cross and, you know, go looking for the garlic and to get rid of you. However, annuities came into their own after 2008 because they do a couple of things. And when I say they do a couple of things, I mean the proper annuities. There's all kinds of annuities out there. So that's why, you know, and I'm not being self-serving when I say this. That's why you need to work with a financial advisor, preferably a fiduciary. Preferably someone's got some gray hair on their head or works with someone that does, where they can give you information. You know, the benefit of the experience that I can provide for people is I can say, Amber, I am going to be the 75-year-old version of you right now. Anybody can see that you're not even close to 75. So, but I'm going to be the 75-year-old version of you right now, and I'm going to look back at the decisions that you are currently making, and I'm going to say to you on some of them, hey, great. On others, I'm going to say, Amber, no, please don't do it this way. Mm-hmm. Do it that way, because even though some of the big gurus say that you're never going to need life insurance, mm-hmm. you should buy term and invest the difference. You know, for maybe 1% of the population that works out, for the rest of the population, it's some of the worst advice you could possibly take. Mm-hmm. So there are annuities out there that provide contractually guaranteed streams of income from companies that have been around over 100 years, companies that have very strong financial statements. Now, does that mean that they cannot possibly go down? You know, nothing is absolutely guaranteed except death and taxes. Mm-hmm. There are companies that have been around for a long period of time that have seen the need for pensions, that realize that people want to have what's called the American dream, which is a nice retirement with streams of income that you can count on to be there for you, and increasing income that you can count on to be there for you. I remember when I first started in the insurance business, I started off as a life insurance agent, by the way. One of the ads I saw in a magazine was, if you buy this particular life insurance policy, you can in retirement have this amazing sum of $300 per month. Yeah, we laugh at that now, but back at that time, that was serious business. I mean, my first job, I made like a buck an hour. Actually, my first job, I made 80 cents an hour and all I could eat. I was at one of the fast food restaurants. They had golden arches out front and used to brag about how many hamburgers that they sold until it became just impossible, you know, to keep track of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I'm saying here is that there are ways for you personally to use your 401k to advantage and to start a plan that can become your own personal pension plan that can be even better than some of the corporate plans from the standpoint.
But you can have increasing. Did Helen do that? Did she get a personal pension plan? Did Helen do that?
Sure. Yeah.
She did?
Okay. Ask that question again, Amber.
Helen, did she get that personal pension plan? Because you knew a lady named Helen.
Helene. Yeah.
Helene.
Her name was Helen, but she called herself Helene. Are we there? Did we lose each other?
No.
Oh, okay. Your picture went away. So, all right. So, yes, her name was Helen, but she called herself Helene. My mom, who was her best friend, my mom's name was Helene, but she called herself Helen. So, but Helene invested in such a manner that they just didn't worry about their retirement income. In fact, her husband, I have had three mentors in my life, Harry, Mark, and Ted. And Ted was the last one. Ted was the one that taught me how to invest in the market to produce predictable streams of income. And that's what he did. And when he died at age 87, she lived another 24 years. Wow. She lived to almost age 103. And during that period of time, she never worried about money coming in. I think because she was married to Ted, he just said, the market goes up, the market goes down. Mm-hmm. That's the market. She probably heard that a million times. And so she just didn't worry about it. But in her strategy, what happened there, because she was invested for streams of to produce increasing streams of income, she was able to give money to her favorite charities. In fact, over the 24 years that she lived beyond what he did, she gave away almost $700,000 to her church, her charities, and her children. And she did that with a portfolio that was under $1 million. So you don't have to have tons of money if you have a good strategy, in my opinion. And she did. And basically, she loved music. She gave to the West Valley Symphony. I used to have people say, well, they just use her for her money. And I would say, yeah, that's true. But, you know, she uses them for her sense of being a belonging, too, because she was one of the biggest givers out there. And of course, they acknowledged that and they made a big fuss over her, which she loved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she died, people came up to me and said, I'd like you to give you condolences for her. And I said, no, no condolences accepted here. This woman lived like a rock star. She gave, she enjoyed her life. She made life better for a lot of different people. And she went out with a bang.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my new product from MyPillow. Towels that actually work. Watch this absorbency test. Here's another towel that we randomly went out and bought. Here's one of my towels with a nice design. I don't know if you can see this, but you could line a swimming pool with this. I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it. Towels that actually work. What a concept. I'm interrupting this commercial to let you know you can get our six-piece My Towels, regular $69.98, now only $29.98. Or you can save 25% on our brand new kitchen towels made with the same technology as our famous My Towels. Also, we have bath sheets, bath towels, washcloths, hand towels, and so much more. And the best part, with your promo code, your entire order ships absolutely free. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use that promo code to get deep discounts on all My Towels. And for a limited time, your order ships absolutely free.
Hey, this is Dr. John Diamond from America Unhinged. You are watching The Amber May Show.
In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, wealthmanagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So she did everything that you should be able to do in your retirement. Have fun, make a difference, and just live worry-free, which she did.
That goes with our next story that I wanted to share with you, because we just talked about a woman, and her name is Helene. But did you know 93%, according to CNBC, of women are stressed about money? Building a cash reserve can help, experts say. And so some of the key points of this article is, largely as a result of a wealth gap, women tend to be more financially vulnerable than their male counterparts. Even a small cash reserve can provide security, according to Paulette, who coined the F-off fund. Here's how you build your own savings. So in this article, it says there's a wealth gap between women and men that has been stubbornly hard to shake. Gender pay gap has persisted despite women's increasing level of education and representation in senior leadership positions at work. Women are still more likely to take out of time of the labor force or reduce the number of hours worked because of caretaking responsibilities, often referred to as the motherhood penalty. I just don't like how that sounds. And, you know, I'm a mom, and I don't see that as a penalty for me to take some time off to take care of my kids. So I don't love how this article is written, but the idea behind it, I wanted to get your idea on it. And that contributes to growing wealth discrepancies, which
is difficult to escape, according to Stacey Francis, a certified financial planner and president of CEO of Francis Financials in New York, largely as a result of the wealth gap. Women tend to be more financially vulnerable than their male counterparts, regardless of their household income. So 93% of women feel stressed when it comes to money, according to a new report by Fidelity Investments. So I'd like to get your take on an article that says stuff like that.
Well, first of all, Amber, think of it when you fell down as a kid. If you were out learning to ride your bike with your dad, what did he do? And he checked to see that your limbs were still on, that there was no major injuries. He gave you a pat on the behind and said, "Hey, Amber, get back up on the bike and keep riding." Mm-hmm. Where your mother would nurture you, she would bring you in the house, give you a hug, put a Band-Aid on, make you feel good. So when it says that 93% of women feel stressed when it comes to money, that's because women, in my opinion, and I'm gonna get in trouble here with guys, but you know, women do think, you know, if they think about the future, they are concerned about financial things. A lot of guys, and I are one, and we're 10 foot tall, we're bulletproof. We don't think any further out than, dinner time. And that's just kind of a generalization. I know that there are guys that do think further out. I'm a financial planner, so I do think further out. But women do feel stressed, and like it or not, we have the unequal pay thing that gets touted a lot. And I'm going to say this about financial advisors or anybody just trying to make it in the business world. A lot of financial advisors I see will take some piece of information and they will build a strategy on it. And I guess I do the same thing. I take the piece of information that basically says, "Hey, let's invest for predictable streams of income in retirement." And we built our practice on that because we know it works. I've watched it work for years. So when they talk about, here's another article. Although men still out earn women in most households, the share of women who earn as much or significantly more than their husband has roughly tripled over the last half century, according to a new Pew Research Center survey and analysis of government data. So today, 55% of opposite sex marriages have a husband who is the primary or sole breadwinner, down from 85% 50 years ago. So we're moving in the right direction here. And I don't like to be sexist. I love women. I think, if you're a believer in God, you'll know the story that the last thing that God created was woman. And he created Eve for Adam. So in my opinion, when he created woman, that was the best he could do. And he was smart enough to stop after that. So.
Yeah. So, what do you,
that'll probably land me in hell. So,
so what do you say to women who are feeling stressed when it comes to money? Like, what are some, like, if I was coming into your office right now and I said, "You know what? I am really stressed with money. I want to feel financially secure about my future." What kind of advice would you give me?
Well, let me answer that question by telling you just a quick story. We did have a gal come to our office a couple of years ago. Actually, she went to the pastor of her church because her husband was entering into Alzheimer's, the aggressive kind where, they get mean and ugly. Mm-hmm. And I asked him afterwards to give me kind of a report as to what she said after she came in. And what he said to me was this. She said, "Jim, when she came to your office, she was just a total mess emotionally and mentally. She was in high stress, just like the article is talking about here." But then she also said that after 90 minutes, she walked out of your office completely at peace, mm-hmm. with hope and a plan for how to address the situation. So here's what I would say to women. And we do work with a lot of women. And I think one of the reasons that we do get to work with a lot of women, very honestly, is we take our time. We slow down. We want them to understand what they're doing before they do it. We want them to understand how their each financial move fits into their overall plan. And I will say this at this point, a lot of people won't go to a financial advisor because they think it's going to cost them money. Very honestly, I've been doing this for over 40 years. Most people who don't go to a financial advisor, those are the ones that really pay more than they should pay. Going to the right financial advisor should save you money, not cost you money.
In your experience, being in the financial world for a long time, the article went on to say that a large number of women stay in marriages that are unhealthy or dysfunctional because of the financial security of being with the husband. Have you seen that to be true in your practice or just in life in general, as you've dealt with people coming and going in your life? Is that something that you've noticed?
Absolutely. I've seen that a lot of times where people stay in bad situations. Now, we're in marriage ministry, you know that. So I'm always one for trying to make the marriage work. I see the financial area as being one where if a woman feels like she can't make it on her own, she puts up with things that she should not put up with. But I see the healthy marriage and finances, they're tied together, but in some ways they are two distinct issues. If you have an unhealthy relationship, and I think in basically in every household, there is some degree of dysfunction. I remember my wife used to say to me, "We have a dysfunctional family." And I said, "Yes, honey, we do. So does everybody. But our dysfunction is a lot less than many people are facing." And the funny thing about it is our kids, when they grew up and they started talking to their friends about their families, their friends said, "You got great parents," which was not a view that they had when they were going through their teens. But
But I agree with that statement. Your kids had great parents. I totally agree with that. I came across this article that I found interesting, and I'd love your perspective on it. It says that, again, a CNBC article, why China, Japan, and the Fed are shaking up the $26 trillion U.S. Treasury market. Every time we turn on the TV, it seems like we're hearing about the U.S. Treasury market. So I'd love to get some insight on it. But the article says when investors think about financial markets, the first thing that likely comes to mind is the stock market, naturally. But there is a bigger, less flashy counterpart to the equity market, the bond market. At the heart of the fixed income space lies the U.S. Treasuries, one of the safest investments in the world. We have not paid attention to the U.S. Treasury market because it was a market for foreigners or for the Fed. Fixed income portfolio managers at JP Morgan said it's now it's a market for all of us and it's giving you a better yield. So something which we should not ignore. Buyers of U.S. Treasury have been changing the major players, including China, Japan, and the Federal Reserve, seeing their respective holdings decline in recent years. And the shift could have a broad implication for the U.S. economy. What we're observing is that there are a lot more price sensitive, global fixed income chief investment officer said that they're just not as sticky as they once were. So first of all, some people don't even know what a U.S. Treasury is. What is a U.S. Treasury? And what do you think about what the article is saying about, hey, maybe we need to start investing in U.S. Treasuries? I'd love your take on this.
Okay, well, it's going to be different than what you're thinking. So let's get basic. Before we talk about what is a U.S. Treasury, excuse me, let's talk about what is a bond. So I think a lot of people don't really understand what a bond is. A lot of people don't understand what stocks are, but in a bond, basically, it's a debt arrangement where the buyer of the bond loans money to the government. If it's a government bond, let's say it's a treasury bond, they're going to loan money to the governments for a specific period of time. Or it could be a loan to a corporation. or it could be a loan to someone who is going to borrow money to buy real estate. So this would be mortgages. Mortgages are basically, in some respects, could be considered very much like a bond. But basically, it's money loaned for a specific period of time. So during that specific period of time, we have to look at it from the standpoint, what can happen? What can happen that could be good? What can happen that could be bad? So money loaned for a specific interest rate during, let's say, a 10-year period of time. Let's say that you buy a government bond and it pays you 4% for 10 years. And then at the end of the 10 years, under the bond arrangement, the government will give you back your money. Let's say you put $100,000 into a government bond, and you did that for a period of 10 years, and you're going to get 4% on that money each year for the 10-year period of time. That's basically a bond arrangement, whether you do it with the government or a corporation or a mortgage, whatever. So what if rates go down during that period of time? Interest rates go down. Well, if you have a bond that's paying 4%, and all the brand new models pay 3%, you have a commodity that is desirable. Mm-hmm. So your bond is better. You know, it's like my dad can beat up your dad. my bond is better than your bond. But what if rates go down? And we've seen both. We've seen rates go down. We've seen rates go up. What if rates go up, I should say. So now you have a bond that's paying 4% and the new bonds are paying 6%. If you want to sell if you need to sell your bond during that 10-year period of time, now, remember, if you hold the bond for the full 10 years, you're going to get your 4% interest, and at the end of that time, you're going to get your money back. There's a risk to that, but we'll get to that in a moment. So if rates go up during that period of time and you want to sell your bond, you've got one that's paying 4%, the new models are paying 6%. If someone's going to buy your 4% bond, what are they going to ask you to do?
Discount.
Take a discount, right? Because they want their yield to be equivalent to 6%. So they're going to want to buy your bond on the cheap. And that's called interest rate risk. It's one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of bonds. I don't say I don't use them, but I'm very careful when I do use them. So examples of bonds, U.S. Treasuries, obviously, and U.S. Treasuries are considered the safest investment in the world at this point. Now, when we look at what the government does in terms of spending money, we wonder, well, how long can that continue? Mm-hmm. But basically, I have to tell you, Amber, I have heard that argument since the early 1970s.
Oh.
Yes. You know, basically, one of my friends drew what's called a hyperbolic curve, which is basically a fighter jet going straight up. And we know that the fighter jet can go straight up for some period of time, but eventually it's going to come back down. And that's what he said to me. You know, Jim, in a hyperbolic curve, the inflation going up, the, printing money going up, at some point that's got to come down. Mm-hmm. And I agree, it's right. But I will tell you, that since 1974, it has yet to happen at the level that the doomsday people say it will. So, you know, someday they will be right. But in the meantime, I've seen a lot more people mess up their financial lives believing that stuff than I've seen having their financial lives messed up by the actual fact.
So why do you think China and Japan are buying less bonds?
Well, I think, first of all, I don't think it's any big secret that China is in competition with us. I don't think they love us. I don't think they go to bed at night, praying for us. they're in competition. And that's why, BRICS was formed, a group of nations that's trying to come up with an alternative to the U.S. dollar. Right. The U.S. dollar is the world currency. And, if you're number two, if you were, back in the day, it was Hertz was number one auto rental place. And what did Ava say? They were number two, and trying harder. Well, that's China, number two and trying harder. So they're buying less bonds, less of our bonds at this particular point. You know, a lot of wars are fought today not necessarily with soldiers on the battlefields with M16s. They're fought financially. They're fought by hacking the other side's computers or influencing their elections, God forbid. Mm-hmm. I know that that's not popular to say that, but, you know, it's human nature. Come on, you know, mm-hmm. if you don't like another country, you're going to do things to try to bring them down. That's just the way life works. So mm-hmm. To ignore that is to just have your head in the sand, in my opinion. So yeah. I can't control that. However, what I can control, or what I can help our clients control, is the use of those instruments, or at least understand them. When somebody says to you, U.S. treasuries are the safest investment in the world, that's true. However, there are some things that can happen with those treasuries that are not safe at all. So let's talk about interest rate risk. We know we just talked about that one. Credit risk with bonds is what's called default risk. In other words, will the government, the corporation, the mortgage company, the foreign government, will they be able to repay the loan when it comes due? That's called credit risk, and that happens a lot in the bond markets. Even with with big name corporate companies, sometimes they get themselves into trouble, and they have a hard time paying off their debt. So it's a risk. We have to just look at it and say, do I want that in my portfolio? Inflation risk. This one is kind of the flip side of interest rate risk. But basically, with inflation risk, if you have a bond that's, let's say it's a 20-year bond that's paying you 4%, you're going to get the 4% for 20 years. However, 10 years from now, because of the price of inflation, that 4% of interest that you're getting, or whatever that amount happens to be, is not going to buy the amount of goods and services that it can buy today. That's inflation risk. So if you're one of those 93% of women who's concerned about finances, and God bless you, again, if it wasn't for women, we would still be driving around in cars with metal seats and no air conditioning and probably no heat as well. That's just the way guys are. Thank you, women, for thinking. Thank you, women, for being concerned. And I just want to say to you, there's answers. There's ways to address your concerns. So have them. That's great. But do something about them. That's great too.
That's where a gold and silver would come in handy, as it's a hedge against inflation. So as the dollar loses its earning power with inflation, gold and silver tend to maintain its buying power. So talk to us a minute about gold and silver, because I really believe that everyone should have some in their portfolio, and they can get it from EPS Wealth Management.
Absolutely. And throw in the commercial for EPS Wealth Management on gold and silver. We started doing gold and silver because I just got sick and tired of seeing people get abused. The gold and silver markets are largely unregulated. And over the years, and I'm not saying there's not other people out there that are have integrity and are doing right by their clients. There are, but what I personally saw was people being taken advantage of by people that for money would take advantage of people. But and that's why we started doing it. So we found a nice group of Jewish gentlemen down in Texas. And they allow us to lock in pricing with our word. In other words, I can call them and say, I want to buy $180,000 of gold for my client. And they will lock in the purchase and the price based on my word. Now, I have to keep my word. These guys don't mess around. So I once had a client that reneged on a $90,000 gold purchase. And he coughed up the money. At the end, there was a difference of about $4,000 because the market at that time was going down. So, but he wrote a check, he covered it, and that was fine. So one of the things we can do is we can lock in pricing. And when the market is going up, or if you're trying to sell and the market's going down, that's a great advantage. The other thing is we do not promote the what they call the coins that are the investment grade coin is blah, blah, blah. A lot of people get hurt because they don't know what is an MS-70 or what's an MS-65. And those are systems for grading the quality of a coin. So it's a market that if you go into it, you need to go into it, you know, with the same idea. If you're going into the jungle, let's go in with Tarzan as my guide. Mm-hmm. He can speak to the animals. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to be safe if you do it that way. If you go in, you know, without that, you're probably going to be in trouble. So let's say, you know, to answer your question, I'm going to double back here, Amber. Should people own gold and silver? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, you know, a couple of reasons. First of all, our currency is fiat currency. Mm-hmm. It's printed on paper. It's very nice paper, but it ain't worth a dang. You know, when it comes down to it, in any more than what we ascribe to it in terms of what we believe it's worth. It's just paper. You could burn it and, I guess, you know, get warm, but it's paper. So gold and silver over the years, over thousands of years, have always had intrinsic value, and they've always kept pace with inflation. Back in 1933, gold was $35 an ounce. You could buy a very nice suit of clothes for $35. Today, gold hovers around $2,000 an ounce. You can still buy a very nice suit of clothes for $2,000. So that's one of the reasons that we hold on to it. It has intrinsic value.
Okay. Now, there's this last article I wanted to go over really quick with you. I thought that was fascinating. Again, another CNBC article. A growing number of colleges are rolling out no loan policies. They are giving them out like candy, Yale professor says. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So some of the key points of this article is amid college affordability crisis, several schools are eliminating education debt from the outset. Roughly two dozen colleges and universities now have no loan policies, which means they will meet 100% of an undergraduate's needs for financial aid with grants rather than student loans, according to Princeton Review. So barring a $1 billion donation or broad-based student loan forgiveness, college is becoming a path for those with the means to pay for it, many reports now show. But some colleges have a new strategy to entice students wearing of the high costs. Roughly two dozen schools have introduced no loan policies, which means they are eliminating student loans altogether from their financial aid packages. They are giving them out like candy now. An assistant professor of finance from Yale School of Management of growing number of no loan policies. Among these schools are Princeton Review, the best 389 college list, 23 promises to meet 100% of their undergraduate financial needs without loans. Now, I don't understand how a university could do that. So do you have any insight on that?
Amber, you asked some tough questions. Gosh. So on the positive side, colleges and universities, I think I could be wrong with this, but I think that's there are also very little regulations there. So I just look at things from a pragmatic standpoint sometimes, and I think, okay, kids can go to school now and they don't have to get those dreaded student loans. Mm-hmm. And a couple of my kids, to their benefit, they said, you know, Dad, I'm not sure what I want to go to school, what I would want to learn. So why should I take out $200,000 in loans for something that I'm not sure that I'm going to actually use? And, you know, I just could not refute that wisdom. So, but for those who want to go to school and those who can't afford it, a lot of schools here are going to be dishing out, are doing tuition free, basically going to school without having to pay tuitions. I think that's wonderful. My one concern with free is never free. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I would do is I'd do a little digging into who's making the grants available.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for spending the last hour with us and giving us some financial wisdom, giving us your insight on some of those articles that came up in the media. So I want to thank you so much. And if anyone wants to reach you, how do they get involved and how do they reach out and get a hold of you?
Well, we have a website. It's called, I believe you can get there by ilovevps.com or just EPS Wealth Management. You can call our office number, which is 623-537-3657.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Amber. Appreciate you as well.